Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the west. I can see Smuts, Saskatchewan. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with ProfitGuide.com and Profit Magazine. Today, guess who's back? Dale Willerton is back. He is the lease coach, the co-author of Negotiating Commercial Leases and Renewals for Dummies. Dale, welcome back to the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you, Robert. It's great to be here.
You know, I'm really excited to talk to you again. In the past, we spoke, almost a year ago, and we spoke about negotiating great leases. But today, we want us to focus in on your book itself. And the book, again, Negotiating Commercial Leases and Renewals for Dummies. So, Dale, first of all, the book, of course, is available everywhere online, correct?
That is right. Plus, most of the Barnes & Nobles that I walk into in the U.S., and it's coming to a lot of the Canadian bookstores as well, so it's out there.
And it's an exceptional document, and you can also buy it at your website, theleasecoach.com. But first of all, let's back up a bit. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're known as the Lease Coach.
Well, Robert, in my previous life, I spent a lot of years working for landlords. I was managing their shopping centers, leasing their property, and I realized landlords didn't really need my help. It was the tenant that needed some help. So what better handle than the lease coach? And I spend a lot of my time literally coaching tenants through the negotiating process, whether it's a brand new location, whether it's a lease renewal. And there's nothing like having a coach who has lived it and breathed it for 25 years to walk you through the process and keep you out of hot water.
Well, well said. And of course, in our CA firm at Bennett Gold, we've been around for a while. We've negotiated many leases. And there's always some little thing that can trip you out. So I'm interested in hearing some of those tips. But let's go back one more point. Why did you and Jeff Cranfield decide that writing this book now was the right thing? What was your inspiration besides the fact that the tenants need representation?
This is actually my third book on the subject, but it was not inspired. It was one of those projects where if I didn't write it, I was going to explode. It was the hardest 9 months of my life writing this book and putting it into the Wiley format for the Four Dummies brand. It was something I just had to do. I had to get the content onto paper, 330 pages, so that whatever situation a tenant is going through, they can flip to that chapter and see some answers.
So why this great empathy for the tenant, especially after having worked for landlords for so many years?
I guess that's why. When I was sitting on the landlord side of the desk, I could see tenants come in and stumble and trip over their tongue and basically leave a lot on the table. They did not know what they were doing. It seemed natural to go over to the underdog side. I kind of have a special spot in my heart for underdogs, and that describes the tenant.
There's often, when it comes to a book on negotiation, there's different people that you're writing for. Now, I know we're writing for the tenants, but is there a specific type of tenants, like a startup, an experienced person, someone in a middle-sized, middle-level management? Who's the best user of this book?
Originally, I thought it would be the first-time tenant, the person that was going to open up their first coffee shop or their first dental office or their first retail store. But truthfully, there are 10 million commercial, retail, office, industrial, restaurant leases in North America. And every year, I would say approximately 100,000 new leases get negotiated, but 2 million lease renewals get negotiated. When I do kind of a survey, when I'm speaking and teaching and across the country, the vast majority of the people coming to my seminars are existing business owners that are facing a lease renewal or a relocation and need some help. So the content is for everyone, but we've had to sort of divide it to here's what I tell a new tenant, here's what I tell an existing tenant, because sometimes the advice is slightly different.
And I think from how I understand the book and how it's laid out, that different advice flows very easily to those different styles and different classes of tenants.
Very much so. And whether you're in a strip plaza or a shopping center or an office building, probably 85% of the lease agreement deals with the same terms and conditions.
So Dale, what are the three things that you would want entrepreneurs and business owners to remember about this book, Negotiating Commercial Leases and Renewals? The three things they need to learn.
Number one, don't assume the real estate agent is in your corner trying to get you a good deal. Even if there's two real estate agents, the landlord's agent and the tenant's agent, typically they are splitting a commission paid by the landlord. So you need to understand that this is a commission-driven industry, and I'm frequently called by tenants saying, it doesn't even feel like my real estate agent is trying to get me a good deal. Well, there's a reason for that, so don't think they are out there just to help tenants. Number two, whether you're doing site selection or looking for a new location, don't make the mistake of finding one location and thinking, this is good enough, I'm going to negotiate with this landlord and get a good deal. The way to really improve your position when you're negotiating on commercial real estate is to find and negotiate with multiple landlords simultaneously. Robert, even if the tenant has a favorite location, this is where they want to be, we can use other locations as decoys to get their favorite location landlord to give them a better deal. So you need to negotiate on multiple sites simultaneously. And number three, it takes a lot longer to go through the leasing process than most tenants realize. Every single month I get a phone call from a tenant telling me a nightmare about how he did this on his own and his rent kicked in before his front doors were even open for business because he didn't think it would take a month for the landlord to sign back the lease document. He didn't think it would take 9 weeks to get building permits. And Murphy's Law, everything that can go wrong did go wrong, and he ended up opening up late and flushing away a whole bunch of rent money before he was open for business.
I tell you, one of my favorite chapters, chapter 13, and this one I like to watch when we negotiate our lease, understanding and negotiating the rest of the lease. So it's one thing about the space. Let's talk about this for a minute. It's other things about visibility, accessibility, signage, parking, various other things that come in. Let's talk about negotiating the rest of the lease for a minute.
In a basic offer to lease, there's approximately 21 business terms. And those terms are very important. It deals with signage and parking and rental rate and term and square footage. If a tenant is told that they have 2,400 square feet and they're paying rent per square foot, let's say they're paying $20 per square foot for 2,400 square feet, don't assume you've got the right amount of square footage. It needs to be measured. Phantom space is a real thing. It's so real, they've created a word for it. It's called phantom space. It's when you're told you've got 2,400 square feet, but you've only got 2,250. And so you're paying more than you need to because nobody measured the space. So we negotiate a clause into the agreement saying that not only will the space be remeasured, but if indeed it's found to be less than anticipated, the rents and everything will go down along those lines.
And I'd also caution individuals to take a look and be aware of destruction clauses where you have to put back your property to the condition it was before you moved in. And if you built all these fixtures, et cetera, they may have to come out at your cost. So be very wary of that.
Exactly. When we're introducing a tenant to second-generation space, we make a point of negotiating with the landlord for additional financial incentives or for the landlord to go in and remove everything the previous tenant left behind. Because more often than not, Robert, even though the lease agreement says the landlord can make the tenant tear the space back to its original state, a lot of times they don't. They're hoping to reuse some of those leasehold improvements. But there's a pretty good chance one tenant isn't going to want what the other tenant left behind.
And I'll share a story with you about parking. When we moved into our location here with a new landlord, new space, new everything, we were a model suite. We did a great deal for ourselves. And the landlord said, well, you can have all this parking. We said, we would like reserve parking because we see there's some marked off. And it was a new landlord. And he said, we're going to get rid of all the reserves. There won't be reserve parking. It's too hard to enforce. We said, okay. And it was actually a half-empty building. So we took a lot of the spaces that we wanted. As they filled up the building, all the parking near the building got tight. And then they put in those reserve parking site lines. None of my staff members, myself, my partners, we didn't have any of these spaces. So we went to the landlord. He said, what happened? They said, well, you know, so-and-so came in and they demanded it. Next time we turned around and said, we would like to have some of these reserved spots. They said, well, it's not in the lease. You don't have any rights to reserve spots. And yet they told us directly there would be no reserved parking. And what we should have done, of course, is written in, should there ever be reserved parking, we would have some of those choices. So again, when they say things to you like, don't worry about it, I think that's a clue. Worry about it. Get it in writing because it may come to pass that you need that, whatever that issue is.
That's right. And the same way that applies in signage is a retail tenant moving into a plaza and the landlord says, well, I'm sorry, there's no more signage room on the pylon. So they say, well, okay, there's no more room. I can see that. And they move in. And then when another vacancy comes up, the next tenant ends up getting their signage and you miss out because you never put a clause in saying you'd get the first available sign.
So I stress chapter 13, understanding and negotiating the rest of the lease. I think that's really important. Hey, let's move along a little bit. After reading reading this book, negotiating commercial leases and renewals, what are the three things entrepreneurs will be able to do that they couldn't do before they read the book?
Number one, they'll be able to control the process. Slow it down, speed it up. And remember, the tenant is the customer to the landlord, and the customer has a lot of control. Tenants just don't realize that. Number two, details count. Whether it's signage or parking. Imagine a new business opening up in a plaza and the landlord saying, you can't put up a grand opening banner. That just blows tenants away, but it happens all the time because they never negotiated for the detail of being able to put up a grand opening banner for 2 months so people would know they were there. Number three, who to turn to for help. So often tenants mistakenly turn to a real estate agent or they get lawyered up when really they should have been going to a professional lease consultant who was in their corner and there to help. If you take the wrong tool out of the toolbox, you're not going to get the result you want.
Dale, share a story with us. Somewhere in Canada, an awful scenario that you wrote in on your white horse and save the day.
Well, usually it's too late. By the time I get the story, it's already said and done. But I'll tell you this one about a UPS franchisee, because there's thousands of UPS stores in North America. I did real estate training at one of the UPS events in Dallas recently. A UPS franchisee came to us. He said, look, I'm 6 years into a 10-year lease agreement. I've given a personal guarantee, and my rent is too high, and I can't afford to pay the rent. And of course, I can't sell my business. Right, because the rent's too high. We went to work on the landlord. It took us quite a while, but we were able to get the landlord to roll the rent back, saving the tenant tens of thousands of dollars and basically making his business saleable again. So someone let that franchisee sign a lease that he couldn't afford. And I guess we did come in on a white horse and save his day, and he wrote a great testimonial about it.
And again, I think the book actually is the white horse. I quite enjoyed reading this. I've shared certain chapters with clients of ours. Finally, Dale, I'm curious. When you were writing this book, what did you learn, or what did your co-author, Jeff Granfield, learn that you guys hadn't expected to learn?
Anything that a tenant is going through today, other tenants have already gone through. And that's why we put so many stories and anecdotes into the book, because even when I'm speaking and doing real estate training, last week I was doing real estate training at a Dairy Queen convention in Nashville. Then I was doing site selection in San Antonio. This week I'm flying to New York to speak at the New York Restaurant Show. And I tell stories, because when you hear the story, you go, oh, if it happened to him, it could happen to me. I better listen to this guy.
You know, all I can say, Dale, is you sound like one of Canada's great unsung exports.
Well, thank you. I do a lot of work in the United States, and the population across the border in the U.S. is tenfold what we have in Canada. So there's 10 times as many tenants that need help, 10 times as many conventions they want me to come and speak at. And it's really a blessing. I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do with my life. This is what I should be doing. I really enjoy it, and I think that's what keeps the passion fresh.
And that's clear in the book. Again, the book is Negotiating Commercial Leases and Renewals for Dummies, available everywhere online and in all the bookstores. Dale Willerton, co-author, thank you so much for being a guest again on the Profit Business Cast. And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to know what a great CA firm can do for your business, check us out at benegold.ca. It's tax season. Don't forget to call your accountant. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone. Good night, Dale, and good night, Smuts, Saskatchewan.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.